Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a good weekend for the Detroit Lions. Good weekend for the Detroit Pistons. Not so much for the Detroit Red Wings. Michigan State both had a bye. Fascinating Saturday of college football. This Indiana Hoosiers team is unbelievable. Spartans back in action. And the team that the Spartans are playing on Saturday was the one that took Indiana to the wire. Penn State, State College. Michigan takes on Northwestern. That Northwestern-USC game was a game until Northwestern had a pick, what looked like might be a pick six. But their defensive lineman dove for the end zone, fumbled the ball out of the end zone for a touchback and like three play. And so USC got the ball back and then went on like a 65-yard run, scored a touchdown right before the half, completely changed that game. I know Penn State's winless in the Big Ten. They went from national championship contender to winless in the Big Ten.
Gee, how could a team do that? Oh, sorry. Michigan State doing the same thing.
Yeah. Well, they weren't a national championship contender.
We were years ago.
I'm talking about this year.
Whatever.
I can't believe what's happened to Penn State. I cannot believe it. But anyway, Penn State's playing better, and I know Northwestern can give you problems. Anyway, they both have to show up and play well.
And Oregon.
What's that?
Oregon in their game. They had to come back at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Change field goals at the end of the game and
Kinnick,
win.
Kinnick's a place, man. Kinnick is a place.
It is a place.
248-539-9797. All right. So, look, almost everything was positive. One thing I'm bummed about is Terrion Arnold was having a good game and he had to leave to get checked out for a concussion. I hope he's okay because Terrion Arnold is coming around here a little bit. There's some positive signs with Terrion Arnold. So, I'm encouraged by what we've seen. I hope he's okay. Yeah. That was kind of a bummer.
100%.
Yep. Let's get back to your phone calls. Mark in Detroit, you're on 97.1. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how you doing? I called about the Pistons, but the Lions, I think Dan wanted to switch it up yesterday. I don't think it's a problem like him and Anthony Lynn. When Anthony Lynn was calling the offense, it was just terrible. I think they still have an input in it. I think Dan is going to call the plays, but I think he's getting input from all the coaches. So I don't think it's going to be a problem. Whoever calls the plays, I think they're all collaborating. I don't think this is a fire the offensive coordinator because they put up points even with John Morton calling the offense. They put up at least 20 some points. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think they just wanted to switch it up a little bit. If Dan continues to call the plays, I think it'll be a collaboration of all of them.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any intention to get rid of John Morton. I think that maybe for the rest of the season now we might see Dan Campbell call
because
plays.
He stuck it up like Anthony Lynn. They were still number one.
Different team altogether. But yeah, I of course he took over and things changed. And I think what you might see is. And what has already been going on behind the scenes, but now we're all kind of privy to it. Dan Campbell's more Andy Reid than anybody wants to give him credit for. You know, Andy Reid is the guy who called
Dan
plays.
Campbell, I don't understand why people don't understand. Why do they think he's not smart? He's been around some of the best. Sean Payton was one of the best offensive minds in football. Yeah. He's a smart guy. He's not a. He's not. He's not a. He's very smart. He was a tight end coach. He's smart. But I didn't call the I enjoy your show, but I'm impressed with the Pistons. You think that we found the Batman to the Robin to Case Batman? I think Durham might be that one. And the scary part about Durham is I think he can get better defensively covering bigs. And I'm impressed by how he handles the court like a guard. So I think if they continue to develop each other, once Ivy comes back, there's no reason why they can't go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens when Ivy comes back, because talented player. I think we're all excited. They've played really well without him.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong?
No, I just want to get pushed around anymore. Felt like the caller pushed me around a little bit. Add to what he was saying.
I
got overtaken. Like, step aside. I've got a point to make.
You just got bullied.
I got bullied a little bit.
He got bullied.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I know what it feels like now. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, he was on a roll.
It was on a roll.
Yep.
But do you think are we seeing like an Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy relationship now?
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't want to overreact.
It'd be really telling if they look good against Philly on Sunday night.
Yeah, because Andy Reid obviously was a guy calling plays, but Bieniemy was the offensive coordinator, and Andy Reid was like nothing but glowing terms about Bieniemy. And I think we're kind of seeing that here. Like, no, John Morton's a huge part of this team, mm-hmm. but, he doesn't have the menu.
What a difference a week makes. Last Monday, people were very concerned. Then Tuesday came and went, and people, it's kind of shifted into hostility. And then they go out and they do what they've done so many times under Dan Campbell. They answer the bell. So they don't lose back-to-back games.
So, Gator, I don't think Dan Campbell wants it to be an Andy Reid situation where he's calling plays. I think he likes the fact that he can monitor both sides of the ball mm-hmm. and give it up to the coordinators. So I don't know moving forward. Like this year, I think Dan Campbell's going to continue calling plays personally. We'll find out, of course. But I think if he had it perfectly the way he wanted it, the offensive coordinator would be calling plays on the offense and the defensive coordinator is calling plays on the defense. And I think he likes to be the guy in between and have his hands on everything and not have to focus on one. Because he even mentioned it yesterday. He had to shift things around when you're calling plays, right. So I don't think he wants to really do this all the time.
Maybe that's why he may not call plays the rest of the way.
You
guys wondered, was there any doubt that he was going to do it? I think there is doubt that he's going to be the full-time play caller.
I think he wanted to nip this thing in the bud right away. The caller was saying, the offense was still scoring points. Yeah, overall, the average numbers were up, but they didn't look that they had any flow last game. And before it got out of control, Dan Campbell made the decisions probably sometime early, very last week, said, hey, I'm calling plays.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because if you'd watched, and we had John Morton's news conferences all year long, the coordinators meet with the media on Thursday. Something Thursday didn't seem right. I interpreted it as he was feeling the heat from inside the building. Like he was being told that, there's some things here that we need to shore up. But little did I know, that wasn't it at all. It was, he was not calling plays. But something was different, which prompted a phone call, which led me to believe that something was different, but I didn't know it was that different. 248-539-9797. Rod is next on 97.1. Hello, Rod.
Hey, what's up, fellas? This is Power Rod. How you doing this morning?
Good to talk to you, Rod.
Power Rod. Okay. Now, the Lions, they convincingly won. It wasn't just because that Washington was just a weak team. They actually did it. They passed the ball around. They didn't just rely on the run. And that's, I just don't want to see run heavy stuff. I need to see, the receivers all get involved and a variety of things. So it was very convincing. Very, very convincing. And also, as far as the Pistons, look like they're clicking so far, but I think they're still going to need a couple more big names to come in and help them out. And the only way to do that is to bring in Magic Johnson as one of the co-owners. What? Bring in Magic. Magic is winning championships, bro. And he's from Michigan. So bring in Magic and get more big names. Big names, big names. And I think that'll help them get over the hump against the elite. Because you can, on the regular season, it's one thing, but when it comes down to winning playoff games, you're going to need those real, real, real big names. I think you bring in Magic Johnson to be a part of the ownership somehow, some way, it'll happen.
Thanks, Rod. Where do you want to start with that?
I don't know. I don't know where I want to start.
I'll just finish with the Magic stuff. I think that Tom Gore's got it right with his latest hires.
Seems like it.
Trajan Langdon and J.B. Bickerstaff.
Yep.
And I like what's happening here.
By the way, you don't hire an owner.
No. You don't take on another partner when you're a billionaire like that. You don't need anybody else's input there. I'm good with how things are working here. I'm good with it.
248-539-9797. You made the point earlier. When you run 68 plays, guess what you get to do? You get to share
spread
the football.
It around, yeah.
The football gets spread around. When you're moving the chains, you're running a lot of plays. When you go three and out, guys don't get utilized.
This is the difference. I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me that would show this, and you know where to find it. Like average yards on first down. They weren't behind the sticks.
No, they weren't behind. They had no TFLs.
They didn't commit dumb penalties. There were no TFLs. Everything was positive yardage. So that's the difference. That's why you can have a bunch of plays and spread the ball around, because you're not stuck with second and 12 or second and 15 or first and 15 and make it everything. You have to make everything up. You're looking at second and 3, second and 2, or first and 10 again, because the first play got you 17 yards.
Yeah, and when we run 68 plays, a lot of people get to be involved, and a lot of people got involved on Sunday. Carson Anderson, 97-1. Jared Goff talking about Dan Campbell, who knows this team's offense. We'll talk to Jared tomorrow about it. And obviously, Dan Campbell will be on the morning show. Every Tuesday, we get caught up with those guys. 248-539-9797. Look forward to it. As the Lions get a 44-22 win on the road at Ford Field, the D.C. post. And Detroit improves to 6-3. They got Philly next. Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. Chump the Red Wings, 3-game losing streak. Champ the Pistons Friday night win against the Nets with 80 points in the paint. Last time that many points in the paint may have been Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game.
Wow.
I don't know. Could be, I guess. Dude, the Pistons have really, really started this season on a positive note, and they are making a strong play for Champ of the Weekend.
They're 8-2 to start the year, tops in the East.
Yep.
They look great.
Steve in Nevada says, went to Japan last week, and I was actually annoyed how many Lions hoodies I saw. At least six separate people across several cities. Guy in the room next to mine as well.
Why were you annoyed?
I don't know. What's annoying about that? Mark in Gross Point says, the Lions found a loophole rule that actually works in their favor with that kickoff out of bounds. Yep.
Well, they'll change it accordingly.
Champ Jake Bates for stopping another return that could have gone to the house. Champ special teams for allowing another return to the house. For almost allowing another return to the house. It's from Ian in Livonia. Yeah, I mean, they gotta tighten that up. It's back-to-back weeks, and I'm sure Phipps on it, but he's pretty well-respected. You know, I made a comment, and it turned out to not necessarily be true, that I don't expect there to be multiple catastrophic mistakes on special teams, like super long returns and like block kicks, but it was a blocked extra point this week and another long return. So, hey, shore it up or else. I mean, they got to figure something out, because that you don't want that to cost you in a big game. And hell, you can make a case special teams cost them the Minnesota game. You can make that case.
Yeah, you could.
There were other things, but 248-539-9797. Champ, Cade, and company, really encouraging start. Chump, Lions fans complaining about anything from yesterday. That was a good win. That's from an unnamed texter.
Yeah, I don't think there are any complaints. I think you could say that it wasn't the perfect game. It looked pretty damn perfect offensively, but there were field goals that weren't touchdowns. That's nitpicking. I don't think it's nitpicking. There are areas to improve. And that's not nitpicking, and it's also not complaining. That's just pointing something out that they do need to improve their special teams. The return units have given up this, you know, too many return yards.
I keep waiting for this phone call, and I'm guessing this text has come in, Kang. Maybe you can confirm this. the phone call where we're praising this team, we're praising everything from yesterday, and somebody calls up and says, you guys make it sound like they've already won the Super Bowl. And that's clearly not the intent. I'm sure some out there have thought it. But they needed that win that way, in a bad way, for the psyche of this town and probably for their own confidence. I mean, I don't know that their confidence was ever rattled, but the bounce back after losses is incredible.
No, first of all, it's Power Kang. And secondly, we have not gotten that text yet. Okay. The closest we've gotten is only the Commanders. So we'll stop with that. Not the Super Bowl stuff yet or anything.
Yeah, well, the thing about only the Commanders is we just talked about all the results from Sunday. Going back to Thursday, I mean, Denver was only playing the Raiders and they won 10-7. Buffalo was only playing Miami and they lost by 17. A lot of teams struggle to beat bad football teams in this league. There's multiple instances of it that took place over. I mean, the Bears were down 10 points with 7 minutes to go, and the Giants had the ball. So winning comfortably and looking dominant, there's nothing wrong with that.
Can we also say there's only one power rod in town? That's power rod.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Wood.
Right.
All right.
I don't think we need to give it any more attention, do we?
I don't know.
Probably too much already.
See how many people are going to call and call themselves Power Blake. Hi, I'm Power Doug.
No, let's not do this. We're not going to do this.
Power Mike.
Kevin in St. Clair, I love games when Jack Fox collects free money. Okay. let's be clear.
He had to hold.
Isn't Jack Fox the holder?
Yeah.
He was on the field.
He got a job.
He's got grass stains on that one knee. Don't be fooled. Champ, Jack Fox, easiest check in the league. Chump, DeRon Payne. Got to be better than that. So Kinlaw and Payne both melted down. Was it Kinlaw that was up in Goff's face? And they were talking, and we'll ask Jared tomorrow, what was that all about? What was he saying? Very weird meltdown. And again, nonsense. Not us, but it's nonsense. And it speaks to the Lions culture. They have a good culture, a winning culture, and they don't fall for that stuff.
Mostly. You could say they don't. Mostly. It was after the game that Brian Branch clocked same fashion.
I'm saying mostly.
Now, the difference was that St. Brown gets clocked, and he stayed standing. Like, that was a big hit from a big man, and St. was like, yeah, and didn't retaliate, which is the toughest thing to do. Was he jawing at him afterwards? Sure, but there was no retaliation. The Kinlaw thing, I just...
That was weird.
It was weird. And Vilma called it out right away, too. He's like, what are you doing? Why are you even in this guy's face? You haven't stopped him.
No. And it was right after an offsides call, and they scored on the next play, right?
Yeah, not only did they score on the next play, it's how they scored, right? That they were pushing, there were three guys pushing them in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like as if to say, here's the power, man. You can't stop us. And then, and here's another reason why. We got wide receivers that are pushing the guy in the end zone.
248-539-9797. More feedback to the Carson and Anderson inbox. My champ is Fernando Mendoza, leading Indiana back on that last drive to beat Penn State. My chump of the Guardians pitchers involved and indicted in that betting scheme. That's from Terry and Plummet. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz. And, you know, I mean, these stories in sports, I hope that everybody's learning lessons here, that you're not likely to get away with this stuff, that, you know, betting irregularities get flagged and get investigated, and these guys are facing prison time. And I, you know, I'm always amazed, and Kang always says, don't be, and people make dumb decisions, and I shouldn't be, but hopefully for the greater good, everybody's learning. I mean, gambling in sports is supposed to be fun, but if it starts to, and it has started in some people's eyes, they can't stand the impact it's had on the game. And I'm not there yet, but I get if you are.
Can we spend a minute just talking about the ridiculous catch from Omar Cooper in the, back of the end zone for
the Charles
Indiana.
Rogers impression?
It was, and you're 100% right. It's the exact same play, same result.
Charles Rogers against Notre Dame. What year was that? Like,
it would have been 2001, maybe.
I was thinking 2001-ish.
The difference is that, unfortunately for Michigan State, after that, I think Notre Dame went down and scored on a couple of plays on a long touchdown pass. But that was the same thing. Back of the end zone, the body control that Cooper had was insane. He's coming down after catching the ball in midair. He's coming down. His right leg looks like it's, you know, way the hell ahead of his left leg. And somehow, at the last second, he's able to lift his right leg up as much as he can while he's falling down, and the left leg and foot touches just inbounds. When the heel hits, I don't know if there's an inch of clearance between the heel and the back of the end zone, but then you look at the right leg and the right foot just grazes just above the grass. It was a phenomenal effort, and I got to tell you, I kind of felt a little bad for Penn State.
I did too.
I wanted Indiana to win the game, but I thought it was delicious to think for half a second that the first win that they get against a top 10 opponent was going to be with the interim coach, because that was a problem that the previous coach couldn't do.
It's funny you say that, because my wife and I, we were up north, and we were kind of bouncing around from store to store, pop into a bar here, grab a beer, watch a little bit. We were at a wine tasting when that game was wrapping up. Yeah.
Wine tasting.
Wow. Yeah.
Take a wine.
For a wine tasting. Yeah. We went for a wine tasting. Yeah.
Oh, that's, you know, the other side live.
They went from beer to wine quickly there.
However, they did have a TV on and that game was on. And we both said the same thing.
How was the fig spread? Was the fig spread good?
Was the game on by accident?
Yeah.
We both said the same thing. And that was, we found ourselves rooting for both teams. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I kind of want Penn State to win this game, but I'm impressed with Indiana. And they had so many, but even before the last play, their dudes made some catches in that last drive.
Yeah, they did. And I wanted Indiana to just validate what they're doing. They have crashed the party in the Big Ten, and it's fantastic. 10-0. That was clearly a tough game, a hard-fought game for them. Penn State really came to play, and they couldn't get it done. But it sets up for a really interesting matchup, perhaps at the end of the season.
It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people.
and off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Damn intriguing Monday night game tonight. How does it impact us? Well, how does it not impact us? Eagles right now, team to beat in the NFC. Packers, they are a half game ahead of Detroit with the tie, the comedic NFL tie. But be nice to see, I guess, the Eagles win this game and get Detroit back into first place. They are currently tied with Chicago at 6-3. The job that Ben Johnson has done has been pretty good after the way they started the season and what they're doing offensively and what he's done with Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams has been really, really good when that team is trailing. And yesterday they went on two touchdown drives late in that game to come from 10 points down and get the win. The Bears are currently third in the NFL in yards per game, and they are seventh in the NFL in points per game. Ben Johnson helps. Duh. This just in. He's really, really good. And, you know, the Bears are right there. Their team, the Lions, destroyed earlier in the year, and hopefully we'll do it again in the season finale in Chicago in January. But at this point, Bears keeping pace with the Lions. There was a rumor after that game. A rumor started. Some people are posting that Daboll had been fired, and immediately the which he hadn't, but immediately the rumor mill started up that Bill Belichick is going to be the next head coach of the New York Giants.
Oh, boy.
Yep. But, I mean, they got issues in that we were talking about this earlier in the year. They're two rookies that everybody was so excited about. It was, yeah, cool, you know, the way they play the game, we'll see if they'll stay healthy. And now one of them has snapped his leg in half, and the other one's being evaluated again for another, I guess he has confirmed another concussion.
Yeah, and the concussion, the play they think he suffered it on in yesterday's game didn't
talking
look
about
like
Cam Scatabo and Jackson Dart, sorry.
Thank you.
Yep.
The quarterback, Jackson Dart, who left the game yesterday, didn't look like it was that bad, but, I mean, if you're already a little scrambled to begin with, it's going to, anything any more impact is going to affect you, and that was unfortunate because I like watching Jackson Dart play football. I think he's a fun quarterback to watch. And yes, it if you continue to play that style, it's going to be a short shelf life. It's, I think Baker Mayfield plays that way a little bit.
Kind of same thing there.
Yeah.
Kind of same thing.
A lot of very gutty performance. And that's how he played in college, man.
Yep.
And the same thing happened in college.
Is he going to be able to stay healthy?
Remember his last year he got banged up as well?
That's why everybody says you don't want a quarterback who runs a lot. That's why everybody agrees with me.
Different running styles.
Yeah, I think. No, I'm just joking. Just kidding.
Yeah, Jackson Dart's only 22 years old. It's a different thing doing it in college and then against grown men out here where these guys are stronger, faster, and he's got to learn how to stay healthy and stay in the pocket a little bit and just throw the ball away.
Or you know what I mean? Just slide. Because that's his thing. Is once it gets going, he doesn't slide. He just wants to barrel through you like Josh Allen used to do.
Well, did Dr. Cam Scatabo call him out for the game, or is he's going to, you know, fully clear him for the next week? Because the way they're doing things over there in New York, the way they're doing things in New York, it's like, maybe, how many concussions does he really have?
Hey, in fairness, Dr. Cam Scatabo did get fined for that. For checking in on him in the
time. He's good.
First malpractice penalty ever in the NFL.
Right.
You know, come to think of it, How does Brian Daboll still have a job?
I don't know.
I mean, you had that whole mess, and then you had this epic collapse.
I don't know.
Halfway through the year, just ride it out, Clark. Let him finish.
I guess. 248-539-9797. Nick, you're next. What's up, Nick?
Hey, I got a champ and chump.
All right, great.
Champ is Jahmyr Gibbs, and chump is Northern Michigan University Hockey. They get swept again by their rival Michigan Tech, and they're 0-12-1 on the season.
Oh, no.
It's just awful. I don't understand how, I mean, Marquette is a hockey hotspot, and these kids they got a bunch of kids from British Columbia for some reason. They got kids from all over North America, and they all stink.
Oh, boy.
It's just awful. And I think, not that the UP is a huge talent pool to pull from, but I think these bigger schools are poaching a lot of our kids up here, you know.
All right, so are you up there now, Nick?
I'm up there, yeah.
Okay, and you're a Northern hockey fan, huh?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's kind of a random call. Just wanted to know what the background was, what it was, and.
Well, you know, you're asking for chumps, and
it's okay.
I mean, I know college hockey is not the biggest, the biggest hot ticket.
Hey, they got my champ this week. Michigan State hockey got my champ this week.
Spartans and the Wolverines are looking great, but UP is hockey, is, you know, hockey, you know, it's kind of a lifestyle up here, and our team in the biggest city in the UP is once again one of the worst teams in the country, and I just think it's shameful.
Sorry, man.
Well, what you need is
former national champ.
I know.
Yeah. We hear you.
Did you guys win that? Was it like an 8-7 double overtime game? Isn't that the national championship?
It was 91. I'm too young to have remembered.
Yeah, I remember when they won a natty. Here's what I remember about that game. The boards were glass. Whenever they played it, the whole thing was glass. But some crazy Duluth place or something.
What they need.
It's Bowling Green.
In the championship, I forget. I remember Boston U was in the semifinal at the very least. Scott Lachance was the defenseman. Had a bunch
it was of Boston U, yeah. Northern Michigan won the NCAA men's high side in 91. They defeated Boston U 8-7 in a triple overtime thriller. So 7 regulation goals, and then it goes triple overtime. Everybody stops scoring until. All right. Anyway.
When are they going to get the snowmobiling team?
Snowmobiling team?
Yeah, that sounds to me, that's something the UP can really dominate in.
Well, I'm pretty sure they have Nordic skiing at Northern. They got men's and women's Nordic skiing programs. That's cross country, right? Or is that one of those weird combined like biathlon where you ski for 30 miles and then fish? isn't there something like that?
Now that's something the UP would definitely, definitely dominate.
Isn't that an Olympic
Northern
sport?
Northern Michigan Tech,
yeah,
you know, Lake State. Just all getting Northern, it done.
Really good on the Klabobakken.
Let's start with a Klabobakken.
Bring it all back. So anyway, we got your vote down for Northern hockey. Alrighty then. 248-539-9797. Ticket text the Carson Anderson inbox. Coop and Linden says, my champ is Michigan sports teams. My chump, the Ron Payne. Yeah, Amon-Ra got under his skin or what, man? That was something. So
took quite a shot.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to talking to Goff tomorrow about what was being said between him and it was Kinlaw, right? Was Kinlaw?
Yeah, Goff and Kinlaw were going at it, but then Payne got involved, of course. You know what's bad when the NFL doesn't even wait 24 hours and they're like, "Dude, you're suspended next week."
Right?
Like, this is really
not a whole lot of defense for that.
And look, it's Branch did it earlier in the year. And like we think about the nonsense we've had here under Dan Campbell, there's the JMO stuff with there was suspension and there was Branch. I feel like I'm missing another one, but it's so few and far between as opposed to what it used to be. It used to be just, there was always something.
Well, does this one bother you a little bit? Remember last week when Aiden Hutchinson was flagged for the tripping?
Yes.
Against JJ McCarthy?
Yes.
NFL likes to sent out fines and for that. Like, they fine players all the time for doing that. In fact, 3 Lions players got fined for it like a couple weeks prior to that. They did not fine Aiden Hutchinson for that. They said that wasn't enough evidence that showed that he had done that. because he didn't make any contact.
So was there enough evidence to even flag him in the first place?
I mean,
this is your point.
This is my point.
Look at that. I figured it out all on my own.
There it is. That's a call that goes, it's like, come on, man. I don't know if, did they fine Jack Campbell for body weight? Do you get fined for body weight?
I don't know. I didn't look at the NFL's disciplinary sheet or whatever it's called.
But that would be another one that, like, those are two calls that really were costly against the Lions in that game. But, hey, it's over.
Yes. Accountability and fines. And let me go back and see if Jack Campbell got fined for that. And by the way, did you hear what Kelvin Shepard said of that last week? Jack Campbell did it exactly the way we talked. Hit the quarterback, but try and roll off to the side, which he tried to do. But he got flagged for hitting the quarterback late. Is this it? Week 9, Detroit, accountability. Doesn't look like anybody got
fined. Okay, so body weight is not a fine in the NFL.
Okay, good. Carson Anderson, Jeff Passan, ESPN, the latest on Scooble, said something I haven't heard yet about Scooble. We'll play it for you today at 11:50 here on 97.1. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 a ticket. Back to the Lions stuff in the noon hour. Very, very impressive win yesterday. At Washington, Lions 6-3. Big game tonight. Green Bay hosting Philly. Lions can move into first place in the NFC North. What a difference a week makes. And then the huge showdown coming up on Sunday night. Lions in Philadelphia to take on the Eagles, the favorite team to get out of the National Football Conference. But Lions back on track. The back-to-back loss thing just doesn't happen here. Not here in Detroit. And we'll talk about it. I'm sure Dan Campbell will speak about it with the morning show tomorrow, and we'll talk about it with Jared Goff tomorrow as well. Goff joins us at 10:30 as per usual. Champ and Chump, we do it every Monday. Get your Champ and Chump votes in. Who should be singled out for having the best weekend? Who should be called out for having a weekend that stinks? Scott, Jeff Passan, recently, MLB writer for ESPN with Dan Patrick. Oh, I'm sorry, Rich Eisen. Was it Rich Eisen?
Rich Eisen.
My apologies. Talking about Tarek Skubal, said something I hadn't heard yet. I'm wondering where this is coming from. I wonder where Passan got this, how true it is. And here's what he had to say about Tarek Skubal and the Tigers. Okay, Tarek Skubal wants to stay here, huh? That's interesting. It seems like the bulk of the reporting on this is to imply that he's as good as gone. This is a reporter that came out and is saying he wants to stay in Detroit. And I got to tell you, I'm wondering where he got this from and how true it is. Do you think he wants to stay in Detroit?
I think he'd love to stay in Detroit. But his agent's running around the show. So it's one of these things where, great, he may want to stay in Detroit, but Scott Boras, that I don't think that'll even come into the calculus of what's going to happen with the situation. I don't even think that registers to Scott Boras. Scott Boras is all about getting his client the best deal possible.
You would think, though, that the client ultimately is in charge.
Of course. You know, that's the idea, and yet we'll see. I mean, I would love to think that if the Tigers came with a competitive offer, let's say the Tigers offered $350 million, and the free agent, he knows that he can get $400 million in the free agent market. All right, $50 million, that's a big gap, right? Mm-hmm. But in the grand scheme of things, you're talking between $350 and $400. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the kind of thing that every fan says. I could live off the 350.
Yeah, but how often do you see this happen where they take the hometown discount? It just doesn't happen that much. I mean, it happens with in hockey, crazily enough, with Connor McDavid. But even then, Connor McDavid took a two-year deal to give Edmonton a chance to win over the next 2 years, and then free agency will hit, and he'll cash in at that point, but he's still making big coin this year. But baseball is a little different. I mean, I'd feel a lot better about it if Tarek Skubal were, you know, afterwards when people had cameras and microphones in his face and he just flat out said, I love it here in Detroit. I'm hoping we can stay here. We can work something out. But that's not what was ever said. No. Instead, it was the opposite. It was punt and nope, I'm just taking myself out of it. It's, you know, I don't handle that stuff. My agent handles that stuff. And as soon as you go into that mode, that tells you that it's like
you're distancing yourself from the decision.
Yeah, regardless of how much you like it here. And yes, the Tigers took a chance on this guy and, you know, they've dealt with his arm issues and all that. And they stood by him and here he is. And, you know, he's been the Cy Young Award winner probably back to back. And when they announced the second one and all that's great. But, you know, he did hire Scott Boras for a reason. As optimistic as I want to be or as I really want to be about this, I have a hard time thinking that he's going to get a deal done with the Tigers unless the Tigers do something really creative or really outrageous. The outrageous is go ahead and offer him the, you know, 8-year, $400 million deal now. And the creative thing would be say, okay, look, we understand that we got this collective bargaining agreement that's coming up and there's uncertainty there. How about we just give you a 2-year extension right now? We'll rip up, you know, you'll play this year for $50 million. You'll play next year for $50 million. And then we're going to go into we'll think about free agency after that.
So I have a couple thoughts on this Passan report and where this is coming from. Almost all of the reporting on this has led to what feels like logical conclusions that Tarek Skubal will not be re-signing in Detroit and that other teams are now putting together trade offers to try and get him. There's a couple possibilities here. One is that the client has stepped up and said, hey, this is getting a little out of control. I don't necessarily want to leave. Let's float some information out there that I don't necessarily want to leave. Like, let's let them know that I don't necessarily want to leave, that maybe deep down he doesn't want to leave and hopes to sign with Detroit and hopes to coax an offer out of Detroit before they just go straight to trading him. You know, let it be known. Hey, we will consider an offer now if you make one. Or two, the Skubal camp's trying to save face and doesn't want like to come across as the bad guy here that just wants out. Could be that too. Here's more from Jeff Passan on what's next for the Tigers and Tarek Skubal. And that's where they are, unfortunately. I mean, of all the scenarios that can play itself out, I feel like him playing this year and getting to free agency is the least likely thing.
When we do Twitter polls, what are the best Twitter polls we can do?
When we get equal response?
Right. I kind of feel like if we were to do a Twitter poll and have like three different scenarios, the Tigers should trade Skubal before you lose him for nothing.
Right.
The Tigers should sign him at all costs, or the Tigers should try to sign him but risk losing him for nothing by playing out this season.
Keeping him this coming season.
I think you'd have pretty close on all three of those.
It's a great idea that we might do in the future because I think you might be right. It's a
you can make an argument for each one of those scenarios that makes – sense. Like, do what the Dodgers did. Go spend money. Or, hey, you're not going to be able to sign him, so might as well trade him, get as much as you can in trade. Or, yeah, get the haul. Or, you know, I'm going to still make some signings in free agency this offseason, and we're just going to run with it for another year with Tarik Skubin and hope to win the World Series.
We've heard a lot of that stuff. This is the first time publicly we've had a reporter come out and say that Tarik Skubin actually wants to stay in Detroit. So, you know, you can put that in, make note of it moving forward. So what you think the Tigers should do, or whether or not they actually still have a chance to strike a deal with this guy. Because I'm not going to say I've eliminated that from my thought process, but that rekindled something that had kind of been dormant. I hadn't really been thinking much about them getting a deal done with Skubal. 248-539-9797. All right, get back to some Lions stuff, including the best thing we saw Sunday in the win over Washington at 12:05. Champ and Chump votes continue to come in. Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.